Well, welcome everybody. Thanks for joining us for another episode.
Good to have you with us again. Here we are.
Yeah. The band is back together.
We are for a week because next week we're having a break off, a week off for Easter.
Yeah.
It feels like we've been leapfrogging each other the last few weeks a little bit.
Well, I think it's been that way all year. Well, like 2024, right? I think we've had three or four times together, and I'm here, you're not, you know, you're in Poland, I'm in Finland, you know, I'm at the School of Ministry, you know, it's always something. But I guess that's not a bad thing.
That's not a bad thing. No. But we're together today and back again in 2 weeks' time. Looking forward to that. Yeah. Wow. So, Barry, you got a new toy. Tell us about, no, don't tell us. Don't tell us. We want to show us what your new toy can do.
My new toy is
hang on, everybody, grip your seats.
It's a new camera that has kind of a special feature. It's called a gimbal, which means wherever I move, the camera can follow me. So it's like, and my wife is on the other side following me. So if I go like this, it follows me there. If I go over here, it follows me there. So I have to be careful that I don't get too excited because, as Mark said, if anybody has motion sickness and I start, you know, moving my head a bit, you know, and the camera starts getting a little excited, it might be a problem. But yeah, so I'm still experimenting with it, and but definitely I'm having some fun, as I do, you know, as Mark and I both. Little boys and their toys, as they say. So, but that's the newest thing for me. What's new and exciting in your world?
I was just going to say, Barry, the other thing that's new for you is you've been doing these little video shorts, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about those. Come on, because that's another string in your bow and whatever, isn't it?
So. You know me, and I, you know, if anybody who sees them on Facebook, you say, I'm just doing experiments. And the one thing I think... One of the issues, you know, that I'm kind of wondering about a little bit is this attention deficit syndrome that, you know, maybe some of us have, including myself, with social media, where it's hard to focus for long periods of time. And of course, it was Valentine's Day now, when this Lindsay Girk shared read the Father's Love Letter on TikTok and Instagram, and it went to over 2 million people, and so I, you know, I'm not really, I have a TikTok account, I have an Instagram account, I struggle to understand them, but I just thought, you know, I started to move into that world, and there's these what's called reels, and they're just short videos, but the thing about them is they don't go to your friends, they're actually scattered, you know, so there people are just swiping their phones looking at these videos. So it really gets an opportunity to reach beyond your own friendship circle. So that I've been just playing around with that. And of course, there's this voice to text stuff where every word you say can be on the screen and it can be very graphic and interesting. So I'm just having fun with it. I'm and again, part of my heart in it is if even one person, and I know it sounds cliche-ish to say that, but if somebody is swiping their phone and then all of a sudden there's something that grabs them just for that minute and that maybe begins a journey for them, then it's worth it. So anyway.
Yeah, you love doing it and great stuff. And of course, Barry has been trying to get me interested in it. I think he's kind of... He's realizing he's hitting a brick wall on that score.
Well, listen, we're only a couple weeks into this, so I have a pretty good persistence level, so I'm not going to give up. Anybody who's watching, if you think that Mark should try a 1 minute video and answer the, just, you know, put a thumbs up or something in the comments. Well, maybe there'll be a little bit of peer pressure that I can apply. So,
well, I can resist peer pressure fairly well.
I'm just seeing a bunch of hearts and thumbs up coming up in the comments. So I'm kind of thinking,
sure that's hearts and thumbs up for what you're doing, Barry, scattering the seed and sowing the seed wherever you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all good stuff. Yeah, and great.
So do we want to mention about just about Easter next week? Do you want to talk that we're just going to take the break?
We're not going to be here taking a break. Yeah. And then back in 2 weeks' time for the summer season, the sort of tail end of our 14th year, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we started in July 2010. So by the time we get to July 2024, 14 years and probably over 500, must be over 500 webcasts,
yeah,
mustn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. That's over 500. Crazy, eh?
40, yeah. 40, yeah. 45 a year. So many of the archives are on the website. People, what's amazing, because I'm kind of sad and look at the statistics of the videos every now and then. I quite often see when I look at the stats that people are watching videos that we did several years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of embarrassed by the quality.
Yeah.
You know, I look at them and the quality is nothing like what we've got now. And I kind of think, yeah, people watch that. Yeah. But they do. So, yeah. Kind of quite remarkable, really. Yeah.
I mean, I've heard the same thing. Some, you know, a few people have said, you know, I'm going back, you know, 5 or 6 years and I'm watching them all and I'm trying to catch up. So it's like, wow, that's
maybe they got some long flights or something.
Yeah. Well, it's just, again, you know how, you know, when we've talked about this over the years, right? It's just, I'm always amazed being in Finland in January. And of course, it's more common for you, but, you know, seeing people face to face, meeting them, and yeah, it's like, it's as if they know us, right? Because they've heard our stories and for years, and people come up and people have said to me, you know, it's been a lifeline at times in their life. And I go, wow, like, you know, you know, when you see them in person, I mean, of course, we see our friends every week with comments and things, but there's something when you, and especially people who maybe don't make comments, so you really don't even know them, and all of a sudden you discover that, oh yeah, I've been watching you for a long time. So yeah, it's crazy.
It's great. So what are we doing tonight, Barry?
Well, this afternoon for me, this evening for you, but yeah, we talked about it as we do every week. What do you want to do? And I just had this thought that the idea of the kind of the orphan heart, the in the contrast with the spirit of sonship. I thought maybe, I suggested that to Mark, and Mark said, yeah, let's give that a go. So and then so I've got some slides that I've prepared before, and I thought, well, maybe I'll kind of rapid fire through some of these slides and then Mark and I will just have a conversation about it. But would you, before we start, would you mind just opening and just praying and asking God for mercy
and grace for those who are going to be listening?
Yes, lots of grace.
and the ability for Barry to sit still and not sway from side to side.
Oh,
Father, thank you that we can have some fun.
Yes, Dad.
Thank you for your presence with us.
Yeah.
And thank you that the reality for each one of us that's born again is that we are sons and daughters. Mm. And that our home is in your heart and your home is in our heart. And we do recognize the orphan-hearted ways that still linger in our hearts, Father.
Yes, Dad.
But we're glad we're on a journey of getting rid of them and seeing them out the door. And I just ask, Father, that today as we open this up, that it will bring revelation and clarity to our hearts.
Yes, Dad.
And I just ask, Father, that for all those people watching, all those people watching later, that we wouldn't fall into condemnation.
No.
But we would see the vision of what you've called us to be, who you've called us to be. That in our hearts, Father, we would really see and know that we are sons and daughters. And so, Father, if there's any condemnation or any shame lurking today, Father, may the light of your love just cause that to be sent away.
Yeah.
And that our true identity would be revealed in a deeper way in our hearts.
Yes.
So, Father, give Barry clarity as he speaks, and just help us, Father, to bring your word to your sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. That was awesome. Appreciate it. Let's see you in a bit.
No worries.
So I'm just going to, as I mentioned, just talk about the, you know, the kind of the contrasting realities of being sons and daughters to God versus the orphan heart. And so I think the best way for me to kind of, I've had some thoughts that I've prepared before for other messages, and I thought, well, you know what, maybe just start there, and then just, and as Mark said, and I so appreciated how he prayed that there's no condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore for no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And when we talk about the orphan ways, the orphan attitudes, it's not meant to shine a light on our deficiencies, but it's meant to understand that there is a way that the Father has planned for us, that he's designed us to experience his love and his life all the time. And you know, and oftentimes the way that I describe it for myself is that when I get into trouble, when I sink back into fear or worry or anxiety, or if I compare myself with other people, or all those things that, you know, are just part of the human experience, that it's a result of me forgetting who I am. And that's where we go, oh, I start acting as if I'm an orphan. I'm not an orphan. You know, and when we talk about orphans, we're not talking about physical orphans. We're talking about the condition of the heart, right? Where we feel fatherless. And so, but for me, when I forget who I am and I start to sink back into I'm carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders, it at the end of the day, it just takes me remembering who I am. Remembering who my dad is. And then I was like, oh, what am I thinking? Why am I worried about this? And that's when I just shift back into my true identity as a son of the living God. And so, you know, that is my heart too. It's not to have this big kind of, oh no, do I have orphan beliefs? I have orphan ways that come up, and, you know, and I just have to, you know, I, in the past, you know, friends of ours, when we've talked about it, it's like an orphan alert. You know, if I start having this kind of, you know, just acting as if my dad isn't Almighty God. And that's what we're talking about. And, you know, so that's what I just want to do. No way. There we go. Sorry, there was a technical issue there. So I'm going to start by the promise that Jesus gave us in John 14, verse 18. And this is before he goes to the cross, and he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, we know from just the way that he was relating to his disciples that they weren't orphans in the natural realm. So he was talking about something that was more in the spiritual realm. So the promise of before he goes to the cross that I, you know, and there's another word used for orphans, I will not leave you comfortless. You know, I will come to you. And so the whole idea is that Jesus has promised that he won't leave us in this state of being an orphan. You know, he wasn't speaking of their physical circumstances, but rather the spiritual heart condition that they had. And so I just want to talk really briefly about some orphan-hearted mindsets. Now, this is something that I can struggle with at times, and maybe you can too. And so, you know, again, the whole point of this is just for us to be able to say, oh, you know, why am I thinking that way when my father is the biggest, best dad in the universe? So here's just a few mindsets. I feel that no one cares about me and I'm all alone in this world. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. I have felt that way. Sometimes when that is manifest for me is when I feel misunderstood, or, you know, if you're doing something in a pioneering way, then, you know, that can be something where, you know, you feel nobody understands you. Another one is, I believe that God may love others, but he couldn't possibly love me. And oftentimes when I, you know, do schools and I encourage people that they might have faith to believe that God loves the person next to them in the school, but they might struggle to believe that God loves them. And so that is a very common struggle that many people have. Another one is, I don't feel that, excuse me, I got my phone here. I don't feel that anyone who is watching out for my good. And another one is, I have to continually work hard to gain acceptance, and I live in constant fear of rejection. And again, a lot of these things are just very common issues of the human heart. I struggle to find peace and rest, and I always live in uncertainty. So I don't know if that's another one where anybody can identify with. And again, often with orphans, when their idea of seeing God, they might see God as a commander who demands obedience rather than a father who just absolutely works in our hearts to will and to do his good pleasure. One of the things that when I talked in schools about different father types, that if we've had a father in our life that lived by the law, the love of law rather than the law of love, then we can actually, you know, see God that way, because, you know, when we try to put on to his understanding of who he is as a father, that, you know, if our earthly father commanded obedience, you know, that was the way that we actually got noticed, then we might think God is that way. Some people struggle with shame, you know, and shame is different than doing something wrong. It's, I am something wrong, and that people can carry a deep sense of personal shame about who they are. This is one I know for me would be a something when I forget who I am, and as I'm continually comparing myself to others to make myself feel good or bad about myself. And, you know, especially in this social media world that we live in, where, you know, we can see Facebook posts and people are showing pictures of themselves in the absolute best light, you know, we can fall into this trap where we can feel bad about ourselves, comparing ourselves to other people. And oftentimes what I say, like, I have people in my life that I really respect and honor, you know, Mark, my partner in this great adventure the last 14 years, you know, I really respect Mark. But if I try to spend my entire life trying to be Mark, not only would I be a poor representation of Mark, but I would rob the world of who Barry Adams is. So this is another one of those orphan tendencies that can cause us to struggle. Another one is, I feel cheated out of an earthly father's blessing. You know, again, at schools, I talk about a father's blessing, and I, of course, experienced my own dad's blessing on his deathbed. But there are many, many people who their mothers and their fathers could never bless them. And so that they carry this sense of loss. It's in essence like Jacob and Esau. You know, Jacob cheated Esau out of his father's blessing. And as a result, Esau struggled with anger and rage. And we live in a generation where many, many people feel cheated out of a father's blessing. And some of the orphan characteristics that we can struggle with, again, these are just common things to the human heart, you know, not feeling completely safe and secure, not convinced that we are loved unconditionally. You know, if you talk about, in a sense, an orphanage, that orphans who live with other orphans in an orphanage can be easily threatened by other orphans, right? And so when we kind of struggle with this attitude, even, you know, sometimes, you know, this could manifest in church where we can be threatened by one another just because of the insecurity that we have. And, you know, and typically in an orphanage situation, you know, there's no mother or father to oversee their lives, right? So in that sense, I mean, there's caretakers, but not moms and dads. And so, you know, that kind of atmosphere can really fan into flame this insecurity when we look at each other. Orphans in the natural have no family name. They struggle to find an identity apart from the one. So they create it by work, and they have no inheritance. So these are just some of the things. They don't get gifts, so they have to work for everything they get. They can struggle to receive, and there's no sense of belonging in a family. And again, because of the in essence of the obedience, rules can be very important to an orphan. They can need to continually prove that they have value to somebody. and they see themselves as workers instead of sons. And of course, we see this in the prodigal son story, where for with both sons, and in essence, both sons were as lost as the other one. The younger son who left home and spent all his inheritance, when he was in the pig pen, he said, "I'm going to go home to my father, and I'm going to tell him I'm no longer worthy to be a son. Let me serve," right? So that is a very, very common thing, even in the church life, right? Because we focus so much on service that we don't see our value to God based on our relationship as sons and daughters, but based on what we can do to prove our worth. And then the older brother in the same story, you know, he was out in the older in the field when his brother came home and there was a party and he wouldn't go in, so the father came out to him. And what was the older son's response? He said, "I have been slaving for you all these years, and you've never even given me a goat to celebrate." And I'm just so thankful. The father's response was, "Everything I have is yours." In essence, he was saying, like, you could have had a goat any time you wanted to. But you see, if we are not seeing ourselves as loved sons and daughters, if our value to God is on anything apart from his unconditional love and acceptance to us, then we are going to try to look for ways to find our value, comparing ourselves with other people, working, you know, feeling like we're never doing enough. And of course, my life growing up, you know, I really struggled with performance. I in the sense that I was a performance junkie. You know, it wasn't like I didn't perform. I really, in a sense, I tried to overperform all the time. But that was because I was always looking for that carrot, chasing the carrot on a stick, and never able to ever come into that place. It wasn't until the Father came and set my heart at rest that it really began to change everything. Some of the symptoms of orphan beliefs is that we can struggle with trust, we can struggle with judgment, we can be hard on ourselves and hard on other people. You know, we can be focused on sin and sin consciousness rather than God consciousness. We can struggle with anxiety, and we can be afraid of the future. You know, fear of man is something that, you know, of course, is part of that whole idea, because, you know, if our value comes from making people happy, like I come from a long line of people pleasers, so I understand this, the struggle with fear of man, where you just try to make everybody happy so that, you know, by making them happy, they can somehow reassure you that you're okay. You know, and because of that, then, you know, control can factor in. Now you can struggle with fear of failure, fear of poverty, self-protection, self-pity, self-focus. And I don't really want to focus on a lot of these things, because I think we know that, you know, we can touch some of these things. And I'm not saying that I tick off every one of these boxes, but for me, you know, when we are living outside of the reality of who God says we are, when we are not living in love, you know, the call of the Christian life is to live in love. Jesus said in John 15, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love." And so it's just when we, you know, forget about who we are and we start kind of operating under the system of the world, these are some of the things can happen. You know, we can struggle with believing, we can, you know, struggle with legalism, you know, struggle with shame, as I mentioned before, whether it's a divided heart, self-hatred, unforgiving, self-righteous. Now, I don't really like spending a lot of time talking about the negatives, but you guys get this, right? That, you know, for me, it's as simple as thinking, what was I thinking? Why am I afraid? Why am I anxious? Why am I trying to control a circumstance? You know, I have a loving Father, and in understanding the kingdom that God has given us, that when we are able to walk in that revelation and remember the promise of Jesus in John 14:8, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." This is the promise that you and I can take to the bank, that God, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right? The Bible says that God the Father has given us his Holy Spirit as a deposit to guarantee his inheritance. And so when we just are reminded of that, and we're reminded that, you know, the love of God is being poured into our hearts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by the indwelling Spirit. That's what it says in Romans 5:5. And hope does not put us to shame because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that he has given us. You see, there is a transformation that each and every one of us have had from being an orphan to a son. And if we read Ephesians 2:1-10, we will read of that transformation that has happened to every person that has been born again into the kingdom of God. Verse 1 says, "You were made alive when you were dead in transgressions and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also once we lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." So this is the "but God," okay? So this 1-3 talks about our life, you know, before coming into this revelation, the saving life of Jesus Christ and coming in union with Jesus. "But God," verse 4, "being rich in mercy for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no one would boast." Now here's the kicker. This is verse 10. This is you and me. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we would walk in them." You see, and the New Living Translation says, "We are his masterpiece." You know, oftentimes, and I'm just speaking for myself, when I struggle or when I go back into the orphan ways and the orphan mindsets, I'm alone, I'm not understood, I have to provide for myself, I have to protect myself, all those things, I'm going back into Ephesians 2:1-3. But from verse 4 on, we understand the saving work that God did with Jesus Christ, the incredible mercy that he's poured out on us, that we have become God's workmanship, his masterpiece, and that God created us in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared that we would walk in long ago. And so that's the takeaway for me, to just remind us that the truth of the matter is that we're that old life, you know, the carnal nature, the old life is not who we are. That is not our true identity. You know, God has given us the Spirit of his Son. Galatians 4:6-7 says, "And because you are children, God sent out the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You are no longer a bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." In other translations, I think the New Living Translation says, "You are no longer a slave, but a son or daughter," because God has given us the Spirit of sonship. And that is that the Father, even today, I truly believe, you know, just wants to remind us. And I think this is all it is. For me, it's a reminder. It's an encouragement. This is not who you are, the identity of the orphan beliefs. And I still have these, and I wouldn't even call it the orphan spirit, or I wouldn't even call it or an orphan heart. I would call it just orphan mindsets that can get confused sometimes with who we truly are as sons and daughters to God. And that when I think that I'm a bondservant, when I think that I'm a slave, when I have this idea that somehow I'm disqualified, the truth of the matter is that is just an orphan mindset that is trying to influence me. And I believe the Father wants to raise us all up and encourage us again and again that we are not those things. We are not called to live like orphans. Our divine destiny is to live like sons to Yahweh, to Almighty God. And so I'm just going to make a few declarations, and I've put up the slides already. So if anybody wants to download the PDF slides, because I'm going to kind of go through a few of these quickly, And, you know, you can read all the scriptures that speak this of the truth, but a son or daughter, when I say son, it's sons and daughters, because we are really in the spirit of sonship, right? A son knows that he is united with Jesus. A son or daughter knows that it is Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. A son or daughter knows that we have this divine union with the Trinity. Jesus said in John 17, 22 and 23, I and them, Father, and you and me. A son knows that he is seated in heavenly places, that Christ has, God has raised us up with Christ to sit with him on his throne. A son or daughter knows that they are born of God. A son or daughter knows that God's seed, his sperm seed, is in them. That's what it says in 1 John 3:9. His seed, in the Greek word is sperma, his seed actually remains in us. A son knows that they are forgiven. A son knows that they are not condemned. And I mentioned Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. A son knows that God is their loving Father. A son relates to Jesus as their big brother. Romans 8:29 says we are called to be conformed to the image of the firstborn, Jesus, who is the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. A son knows that he belongs to God's family. A son knows that he has a rich inheritance. I know this is rapid fire, but I just want to declare the truth of who we are as sons and daughters to Yahweh. A son knows that every good gift comes from his dad. A son is not afraid to ask his father. That's why Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you. A son knows that his father is always listening. In Matthew 6:8, Jesus said, your father knows what you need before you even ask for it. A son can pray to God with confidence. A son can boldly enter his father's throne room anytime. That's what it says in Hebrews 4:16. Let us draw near to the throne of grace with boldness to receive mercy and find grace and help in our time of need. A son knows his father will provide. In Matthew 6:25 and 26, Jesus says, if your father feeds the birds of the air, will he not also feed you as well? A son is at home in his father's house. A son receives a kingdom inheritance. And that Jesus said in Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock. It's your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. A son is fearless. And 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. A son is at peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. A son lives under an open heaven. And the Bible says when Jesus came out of the waters of baptism, the heavens were torn open. And the voice from heaven said, this is my son, this is my daughter whom I well please. And that's the same open heaven that is over you and I when we live our life every day. A son has an easy yoke. Matthew 11 to 28 to 30, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A son knows how to rest. Hebrews 4, 9 and 10, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Whoever ceases from his own work enters into the rest of God. A son is as bold as a lion. I love this one. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee with no one pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. A son carries his father's authority, because sons look like their fathers. And then when, of course, I'm reminding you, when I say sons, I'm talking about sons and daughters, because it's the spirit of sonship. A son and daughter or daughter is blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's what it says in Ephesians 1:3. A son is merciful just like their dad is merciful. That's what Jesus said. Be merciful as your father in heaven is merciful. A son has a servant's heart. See, there's a difference here. There's a difference between having an identity as a servant and having a servant's heart. You know, Jesus said, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. And who's the greatest? Well, the Father is the greatest. And of course, Jesus came to manifest that servant heart to the world. And so sons and daughters have the best servant heart, but their identity isn't servant. It is always son or daughter. A son knows he is in good hands. John 10:28 to 30 says, no one will ever be able to snatch you out of your father's hand. a son is never alone. And I talked about this struggle with the orphan mindset that we feel alone. Hebrews 13:5, there's a promise from God himself. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. A son has an eternal mindset. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18 talks about looking at the things unseen, not the things that are seen, for the things that are unseen are eternal, but the things that are seen are temporal. I believe the more that we come into the revelation of the Father's love for us, the more that we will be able to see into the unseen realm of the eternal. Because Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And that's when, I believe, when the love of God, the eternal affection of the Godhead, intersects our humanity, that's when we get to see into the unseen realm of the world. A son is fruitful, and John 14:8 says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. You see, the Father just loves it when we bear fruit. But I truly believe the fruitfulness that we actually bear as far as being loved is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control, you know, where we actually come into the fruit of the Spirit of Galatians 5:22 and 23. A son speaks his father's words, 1 Peter 4:11. When you talk, speak as if you're saying the very words of God. Now think about that one for a second. You know, I truly believe that the Father wants us to so come into this identity of being sons and daughters to him that we actually enter this realm of authority and union with Jesus where we know we're sons and daughters. We don't have to strive to be sons and daughters. We can just rest in the finished work of Christ and know that this is our identity, it's our birthright, and it's our destiny. A son is his father's work of art, and I already referred to Ephesians 2:10, that we are God's workmanship, we are his masterpiece. I want to encourage you, I want to remind you to look in the mirror, and the next time you look in the mirror, I challenge you to be able to say, I am my father's work of art, I am my father's masterpiece. Because that's the truth. One of the things that we can struggle with and some of the orphan tendencies is self-hatred, right? And that we're never good enough, we're never enough. I truly believe that the Father wants to encourage us, like what King David said in Psalm 139, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knows that full well. A son is not defined by gender, race, or class. This is in Galatians 3:26 to 29. It says, in Christ there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. I truly believe that there are things that we have felt like we've been disqualified by virtue of our background. Even, in some church circles, you know, women have some limitations for ministry. And so all those kind of things in Christ, you know, I truly believe we're not defined by those things that limit us. A son does not follow signs, but signs follow him, you know, and that's where Mark 16 says, these signs shall follow those who believe. And of course, you know, goodness and mercy in Psalm 23 says, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. A son lives by his heart. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. When we begin to understand that it's the Father in us by his indwelling spirit that directs us by the desires of our heart, then we can just live by our heart and not try to, you know, have that orphan mindset where we're trying to compare ourselves with other people and trying to anticipate what we should do and kind of living from a place of obligation rather than from this beautiful, simplistic way of living. A son freely gives what he freely receives. And that's what Jesus sent out his disciples to cast out devils, heal the sick, and raise the dead. And he said, freely as you receive, freely give. A son is completely free. John 8:36, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. A son knows that nothing can separate him from the love of God in Christ. And from Romans 8:37 to 39, Paul talks about being convinced. I am convinced that nothing in all creation can ever separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there are many things in this life that try to separate us. But when we know that we're loved by God, that separation is an illusion. And so if you're struggling with separation, that feeling alone, feeling disconnected from God, you know, my prayer for you is that there would just be a reminder from God, you know, that you, that's not who you are. That is not your identity. You're not an orphan. You are a son of the living God. Sons and daughters are happy to be led. One of the signs of sonship, Romans 8:14, those who are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. A son lives a joyful life, John 15:11. I said these things to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I believe that today the Father wants us to be filled with the joy of Jesus in the same way that Jesus feels filled with joy just being loved by his dad, that you and I would just overflow with that same joy. A son lives a worry-free life, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. You know, oftentimes I carry the weight of the world on my shoulder when I forget who my dad is. And of course, one of my favorite, a son has a childlike heart. And this is, you know, these are the words of Jesus, Matthew 11:25-26, when he said, I thank you, Father, for you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little babies, for this is what you were pleased to do. I believe the more that we come into this revelation of the Father's love, the more that we can just sink into that simplistic, beautiful, innocent, childlike heart and live life knowing that we have the biggest, best dad in the universe. And I've got more, but I think I'm going to stop there. And Mark, I just want to bring you on, my friend. And I, you know, I know, guys, this is rapid fire stuff, but I just want to encourage people. I just want to bless you guys and remind you of who we truly are, that we are not orphans, but we are sons and daughters to God. So there you go.
I think you've covered it, my friend. I mean, the contrast is so stark, isn't it?
You know,
the difference between a son and an orphan. I mean, the only, I just got two little things to add, Barry, and that's really it. First of all, is when you look at that description of an orphan, it really describes an empty heart, you know, and the emptiness of the orphan-hearted ways. And that emptiness is only satisfied when the Father pours his love, the substance of his love, into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. An orphan is an empty way of living, and yet when the Father comes to us, when he meets us, and he says he's given us that promise, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And you know, my encouragement for us is just to simply open our hearts and say thank you that you've come. It's almost a, probably you know, a better translation is I have come to you. Because I will come has got that sort of sense of waiting and longing. And we can kind of think it's always out there. But actually, the reality is he has come to us. And the emptiness of an orphan heart is his love being poured into our heart by the Holy Spirit. So I would just say to anybody who's feeling like that emptiness of heart, that barrenness inside, is just say, Father, pour your love into my heart by the Holy Spirit. And the other thing is what the Lord said to Cain when Cain had killed his brother Abel, Genesis chapter 4. You know, the Lord says to Cain, you will be a restless wanderer on the face of the earth. And I really think that describes the orphan heart, that restlessness inside of us that is never satisfied until we encounter and experience the love of the Father. See, when you're restless, there's always something more you've got to do, something more you've got to become, something more you've got to have. And that's the orphan heart. That description of restless wanderer really sums up what an orphan is. But yet when we encounter the love of the Father, Barry mentioned Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. But, you know, going on from there, it's like, you know, the Jesus says to the Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and learned. You've revealed them to little children. Then he says, you know, no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. It's like we get that revelation of who the Father is when we have a childlike heart. Mm. And then the last couple of verses of Matthew 11, come to me and I will give you rest. See, an orphan is restless, but a son is at rest.
Yeah.
And when we are at rest, there's nothing more we need to do, nothing more we need to achieve, nothing more we need to become. And so, you know, I just that's, you know, my simple encouragement is, if you feel empty, just come.
Yeah.
And let him pour his love into your heart. We need, I just feel we constantly need an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And very often when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we think of the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. But actually, you know, I think when we look at what Jesus said, when we look at Ezekiel chapter 36, we see that the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. It's God's Spirit coming inside of us to connect us to the Father, so that we know we're sons. We've received the Spirit of sonship, which enables us to cry, Abba. And so I think the prime role, the principal role of the Holy Spirit is to make our hearts aware of who we truly are, that we're sons and daughters. And we need, I believe, we need a constant, regular encounter with the Holy Spirit to enable our hearts to be filled with his love, so that the emptiness, the barrenness of the orphan-hearted ways just go.
Yeah.
Because when you fill a heart up with love, it's no longer an orphan.
Right.
It's a son. Yeah. It's a daughter. And so I just think that's what the Father wants to do for us. Mm. And, you know, Barry, you paint the contrast so well, that being a son, being a daughter is like kind of a lot better.
Well,
it's chalk and cheese, isn't it?
Absolutely. And like, you know, and I, when I say that, for me, when I get into trouble, and I do forget who I am. And it's only forgetting. It's not like I'm, you know, I'm an orphan. I forget that I'm a son. And it's like, this is when the love of the Father, when the Holy Spirit just goes, oh, you're not an orphan. Yeah. You are a beloved heir and a joint heir with Jesus. And they go, oh, yeah. And then what do? It's just like, and sometimes the way I describe it is, it's like the Father's house in the prodigal son story. Sometimes I'll take a few steps out of the house and just kind of forget. Oh, and then you start carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders again and go, oh, I'm going to go back into the house. I'm going to
go back home.
And to me, I think even maturity is just, in my life, is the shorter, the times that are shorter between, you know, living in the place of being in sonship. But then you go, oh, I forget. Okay, let's get back. No condemnation, no shame. You don't beat yourself up. It's just easy peasy. I'm going back to my, you know, to my royal birthright and stay there. And that's why I think when Jesus said, you know, remain in my love, you know, as the Father loved me, I loved you, remain, stay here, don't go anywhere. You know, Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God. Like, it's just to say, let's just stay there. And you said about the indwelling Holy Spirit being poured out, Ephesians 5:18, right? Do not be drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And maybe, that's a really good word. Could we maybe just brace yourself for maybe just open your heart up for a fresh infilling. Maybe I'll put the music on and maybe we can just ask as Father to expand our capacity today. And for anyone who I can identify with this, and I can say this very freely, because it's not like, you know, I can identify with a lot of the characteristics of the orphan mindset that I can dip into, you know, just, you know, I don't know about you on the, is it the M1 or the M20 or whatever, but we have these highways here where people cut you off and I can go like, you know, I can, for a moment, I can forget and go, oh, okay, bless the Lord. You know, I just got to move out of that gracious spot. So maybe we could just, I'll just put the music on and maybe we can just ask the Father. To fill us again with the full measure of his fullness. So, Father, I We thank you that we are not orphans.
Yeah.
Wow. We are sons and daughters to Yahweh. You have raised us up and seated us in heavenly places in Christ. Even though we live in a world that is an orphan, has orphan values, Father, we are not of this world. We are in it, but not of it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so, Father, we just want to just posture our hearts in this very moment and ask you, Father, would you fill us to the full measure of the fullness of God with your love? Would you expand our capacity to receive how the depth, the width, the breadth, the height of your eternal affection for us in Christ Jesus by the inflowing, outpouring Holy Spirit that you have placed in our hearts? Whoa.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Father, thank you that you pour the substance of your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The substance of your character into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The substance of your personality into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we just ask for that outpouring of love. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, as you bring that downpour of love into our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
That your love would fill up the empty places. That your love would transform the barren places. That your love would bring life where there's been stagnation.
Yes, Dad.
Your love would bring freedom where we've been held captive. So, Father, just pour your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We just welcome you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for this gift that you bring to our hearts to confirm to us deep within that we are sons and daughters, that, Holy Spirit, you living in us is the cry, because the cry comes from you.
Yeah.
Abba, God, you really are my Father.
Yeah.
So, Father, just do it. Thank you, Father.
Yeah, and we thank you that you want to fill us with your love more than we want to be filled.
Yeah.
So we don't have to strive for this. We don't have to twist your arm. We don't have to try to convince you. Father, you are continually pouring your love out into our hearts. And so, Father, we just want to remember who we are. I think of that the Lion King movie, that the original, where I think it was Mufasa, is it, that he forgot who he was, and in his dad's remember who you are. I believe the Father wants to remind us today that we're not servants, we're not slaves, we're heirs, joint heirs with Jesus. We are children of the living God. Wow.
So
Father, would your perfect love just drive out all fear? We don't have to deal with fear. We don't have to deal with any of these things we struggle with. Love will deal with it. So we just want to focus right now on receiving your love, receiving those words of affirmation and encouragement. And let love deal with all those orphan mindsets.
Thank you, Father.
Wow. Wow. I just love 1 John 3:1. See how great the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, ! And that is what we are, ! That is the truth.
That's who we are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well,
Good job. Thanks, well, Barry.
I hope it wasn't too rapid fire, because I know...
you'll have the video online in a few minutes and people can come back.
Yeah, and I actually have the slides. The PDF slides are there as well. And there's more descriptions of what Suns are all about that you can just download. So
where will the slides be, Barry?
Right next to, like, if you download the audio, it'll be on the same line on fatherheart.tv. If you download the video when you go to look at the video, then it'll be right beside it. So it'll be a link to download the slides. So, and remember, next week we're off for taking an Easter break, and so we'll be back in 2 weeks. And anything else before we go?
No, that's good.
That's good. Okay, I'm going to leave with a short little 2-minute video that will just remind us again who we are. So bless you guys and have a wonderful Easter. Blessings in your Easter week.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, see ya.